You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
A Super Bowl champion.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl.
The Packers' all-time leading scorer.
A game winner for Mason Crosby.
It's time for the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network. Powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook and on the free Odyssey app.
Hour number two, the Mason Crosby Show. Tommy Wirtz in for Mitch Thunder Nellis. Packers all-time leading scorer still here. One more hour left, and then where are you going again? You got like a real spring break now or something that pops up here? Second spring break Tennessee?
No second spring break. I don't know what's going on.
Okay. sounds mysterious now.
It
Crosby.
Is mysterious.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to tell you all my plans.
I got it. The cartel operation is under the table. I got it. For
exactly,
sure, Mr. Crosby.
Exactly.
Joining us now on the guest hotline, you can follow his work at Dusty Evely on Twitter or X, Acme Packing Company, for all your greatest Packers news there is out there. Mr. Dusty Evely. How are we doing, Dust?
Gentlemen, I'm doing good. Listen, man, it was 80 degrees a couple days ago, or 60 right now, or my body's all over the place. I'm talking football with you, gentlemen. What could be better?
Yeah, right? You're in Kentucky, right? Where in Kentucky?
Central Kentucky, Lexington area, a little bit south of Lexington.
Okay.
Nice.
All right. Well, you golf, Dusty? We had Andrew Banstra on earlier saying that he was on the golf course in Madison. It seems like you could get some golf weather in if you're a golfer.
About once a year I go, and then nice. I need to get out here more often, and then I go next year in this way.
Well, Crosby will give you some lessons if you ever need some, and he's in the Central Kentucky area then, because he tells everyone he's a 2 handicap. Whenever he tells us his score, he's an 11 handicap. I'm sure he can help you somewhere in between there.
I'll take it. I'll take whatever I can get.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you just pay for the round of golf, and I'll be there.
Oh, easy enough. Easy enough.
Easy,
yeah. And maybe some bourbon, you know, since you are in Kentucky.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough.
Brother,
yeah.
Listen, I got a line on some. You let me know when you're up, and we'll
hook
you
up. All right, easy enough. Dusty Evely joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show. And, you know, draft talk is so overrated at this point when you don't have a first-round pick here, Dusty, but I think we should go down some of these positional groups here and just talk about targeting in the draft, or even just for next season on how you're feeling about each one of them. But before that point, we got some news before the show started. Dexter Lawrence interested in being traded. Is there any possible way the Green Bay Packers could get something like this done? Because it sure seems like that would be just a dream scenario of getting another big guy on the interior. I know they, you know, have Devontae Wyatt on the fifth-year option, and they just brought in Javon Hargrave, but Easton Butler at least saying that phone calls have been made from Green Bay. How much smoke do you think there is to the fire, or vice versa?
I mean, they're in every conversation, right? I mean, they've talked about that. That it'd be a perfect fit for what they want to do, for the kind of player he is, for where their window is. I've not even begun to look at what the compensation might look like, both from a draft pick perspective versus like a, you know, new deal, rework deal. That stuff always happens. So I have no idea what that would potentially look like. But just the player himself, that's one of those move money around. I think Gutekunst already said it's what a 2 to 3 year window is kind of what they're shooting for here. This is the kind of player, given the need they have there at that position, given where the rest of the roster is, if you have a chance to get a guy like that, you do it. And then you just, in 5 years, we're going to pay for this. Like this, we're going to take a hit down the line. But for now, if you feel like you're in a good spot, take a swing, man. Like I would love to see him in the green and gold. As everyone else, love to see him in green and gold. I doubt it happens, but it's fun to dream on for now.
I don't know. I mean, now that the Micah Parsons deal has happened in Green Bay, I won't put anything off the table for what Goody is willing to do, what he's willing to move off of, all of those things. You bring a guy like Dexter Lawrence in my opinion, they are, I mean, it moves them up the list of like real contenders for next year, especially in those first four games where you don't have Micah Parsons. You bring a guy like that in, you bring him with Hargraves, you still have Van Ness, you still have some pieces to get that defense going, and then you add Micah Parsons 4 weeks later. I think Dexter Lawrence is that type of player, and we saw it with Seattle Seahawks. Defensive line, that front is what won that championship.
Yep.
Do you agree with that? I mean, you think if Dexter Lawrence is on this team, now we're just saying, well, this now it could be the best defense, in the at least in the NFC North, in the NFC, and like they're going to be competing for championships.
I think it's got to be, because I mean, you look at even the holes past that. I mean, we know interior defensive line is a hole. We know that. Beyond that, it's linebackers a little thin. Cornerback is thin. But as we saw early in the season with the healthy Micah Parsons, when everyone else was healthy, if you have a defensive line that could detonate, those other positions they don't need quite as much. There's been studies going both ways, whether cornerbacks are better or good pass rush is better. And there's a push pull there. So you never really know which way that falls down on. But Nixon looked like a Pro Bowler earlier in the year when Parsons was there and everyone was rolling. So You get a line that could detonate like that. You keep those linebackers behind you clean. Isaiah McDuffie is a guy who has limitations in terms of movement skills and all of that. He knows where he's supposed to be, and if he can be kept clean, he's a solid tackler. If you get Isaiah McDuffie is kept clean, Edge Cooper's kept clean, you got the guys on the outside that have to cover for 2.1 seconds. Then you've got the safeties. We got the emerging Evan Williams. We saw what Bullard did there. We got X back there. The positions that are weak are not even like for me, there's one bit. The massive hole is defensive tackle. Everything else is just – thin. You want upgrade cornerback, but like it's thin, but I think they've got pieces in place there, kind of like what they've done with I'm blanking on the Colts guy they brought in now for some reason. I like kind of where they're at. They can improve. Yes. Well, Desiree Franklin's the linebacker and they brought in. They signed that corner as well.
Oh, blanking. Sorry. I thought
Franklin's there. Yeah, you're right. And I think that makes him better as well. But the detonating the interior defensive line, I think that improves every single part of this defense and absolutely makes them, I think, in the out the gate, if they make this trade, it's top five defense, and I think you can go up from there.
Well, it's
exactly what you want to do.
How concerned are you, Dusty Evely joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show, how concerned are you with the defensive line for the first month of the season, right? You're not going to have Micah Parsons. You have Lucas Van Ness, I guess, as your top edge rusher during this stretch. For the Green Bay Packers, you're going to have great, you got Franklin and you have Edrin Cooper on that second level. But that first level, it's going to be a lot of throwing stuff together to see what works until they get the finished piece back in Micah Parsons.
Yeah. St. Juice is the other corner. That's the corner I was thinking
of.
Yeah,
Chargers.
It is
Chargers. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, my bad. It gets hairy. It looks hairy. At this, I'm kind of excited to see, just because there are these kind of it's a weird group of pieces. You don't have like a huge big dude in the middle. You have what you're hoping for. Potentially you take a guy like Nazir Stackhouse, the undrafted guy last year, in the hopes that maybe you can develop into something, year two, year three. So he's a big dude, could not hold the point this past year. Maybe he takes a step. You like what Brinson took, but you've got these kind of like weird mismatch pieces in the middle. I have been curious since they hired Gannon. My whole question has been, is Gannon the guy he was in Philly, or is Gannon the guy that Rollis was basically running the show in Arizona, which was Philly was fairly straightforward, fairly static, and Arizona was just, it doesn't matter who we have, we're putting all of our guys in the best position to succeed. And it was weird three safety rotations, and there's moving pieces. Like, it was more disguises than I'd seen in most defenses. Like, just as weird and wacky as they got with the front, with the back end, all of that stuff. Do they just go into this going, listen, for the first three, four weeks, we've got these pieces. We're getting weird with it up front. We're slanting, we're twisting, we're slamming Edge Cooper off the edge through the middle, like we're weaponizing Edge Cooper in a way we didn't last year. Like, is that, do we get weird with it until Parsons comes back? I don't know, but it feels like if the room doesn't change dramatically, and that's even with a rookie in the mix, if they draft someone rookie interior defensive lineman, if something doesn't change dramatically here, how weird do they try to get with that just to patch things together? So we've seen not Gannon necessarily, we've seen Gannon defenses do this, but how much of this was him versus somebody's Rollis in Arizona? I think that could tell a big part if they go in with this group. I think we could see some fun stuff in the middle of that line potentially.
Yeah, you're going to have high football IQ guys if you're changing and doing a lot of those things. And then, but again, you have Edrin Cooper and Franklin, some established good linebacker, because you start doing a lot up front, those linebackers become like huge, like really important in that, because you know, if the front gets a little gap, you know, unsound or different things because they're trying to just be disruptive, those guys are going to play a huge role. But I don't hate that idea. And I look back at the teams that I was on. Whenever every good and great pass rusher has a defensive lineman that is their kind of anchor, right? It's like, yep. I feel like all our early teams, like when Clay Matthews got there, right? It's, you got Colin Jenkins, you got B.J. Raji, you got, yep. you know, it was like Ryan Pickett maybe for a moment. Like, you had yep. these anchor guys that were going to not allow double teams on someone else, or they had to double team them because they were going to be disruptive up the middle, and then you get a lot of one-on-ones on the edge. So great defensive linemen make everybody else around them better. Yep. So I'm huge on go get Dexter Lawrence at, honestly, not any cost, but like if it's a high price, but it works.
Extend yourself. You got to extend yourself.
You got to extend it here. Yeah. This, in my mind, I'm like, we're in a, you know, 2-3 year window here with this Packers team before like that bill comes up, in a sense, before yep. you're like, all right, now we got to go back and we got to rely on draft guys and, like, you know, see where we're at. But, you know, these next couple of years, they can kind of chase that and see what happens.
100%.
Dusty, I wanted to go through some other areas. I don't want to get into too much of draft prospect specific stuff here. But when you think about adding something on the offensive side, it's been a lot of defensive conversation. That's where free agency is coming to play for Green Bay, most of this as well. A lot of not talking about the offense during this. Do you think that this Packers team is pretty shored up on the offensive side of the ball? I mean, they have their quarterback, the wide receiver room. It seems like there's more likely to be an absent guy, you know, someone gets sent off, yeah. traded, than anyone getting brought in. How confident are you in Green Bay's offense that really they're not going to run it back with the same group this offseason?
First of all, I'm firmly on board with, I don't want to trade any of these wide receivers right now. If, for the reason, unless it brings back Dexter Lawrence, I don't want to trade any of those guys. I think if you're looking at preferred starters down the offensive line, down the offensive side in general, the starters are fine. It gets real thin after that, a lot of positions. Like tight end, you know, out of Kraft is going to start the season. I'm not sure how that's looking. Even if Kraft, if we assume Kraft is starting the season, he's 100% from the get-go. Behind him is Luke Musgrave, who I thought showed some stuff down the stretch. He's never going to be
no,
a blocking
no,
tight end.
He falls every Listen. Time, Dusty. He no, cannot run.
Come on.
I have a clip twice at the end of last year. Two times he caught the ball, turned upfield, didn't fall down. He's getting better.
Oh,
he's
wow. getting better, Tom. He has 18 nice. Yards a rack last season. Great. Yeah, yeah. That'll play.
No, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I thought he was better down the stretch last year when he got more playing time. I still don't think that's a guy you want to rely on, especially if, like, you want to do some blocking stuff. I really like what Josh Wiley brought, but he was fairly limited as well. They had him as, like, fullback. They had him in the H-back stuff.
Yeah.
He's 6'8" and pretty gangly and didn't always know his blocking assignments. And maybe he gets better there in year two. But to me, that he strikes me as, like, a nice depth piece, but not a lot more than that. So you basically have Tucker Kraft, if he's back week one, and then some guys you don't really trust and don't move the needle too much. So tight end, you want to see. Even preferred starters, offensive line, like Jordan Morgan. I really like Jordan Morgan. I think he's going to be fine at left tackle. I think he is at least as good as Rashid Walker from week one, but I think he's better. I think we've already kind of seen that. Aaron Banks, I think, got better as the season went on when he got up further away from that injury. I don't think he's great. I think he can be fine. Sean Ryan, I really like to bring him back. Belton, and then Tom. Like, those starters, if Tom's back, those starters are good. And then you get past that, and it's Kennard can fill in if they got away from the 6-0 line stuff. So he's kind of like, you know, swing tackle, whatever. Past that offensive line gets real, real thin. And then running back, kind of the same way. You hope Marshawn Lloyd is healthy. Jacobs kind of took a beating down the stretch. Where's he at in his career? Chris Brooks, I really like, but he's not a guy you want to give more than like 5 carries to in a game. So I think offensively, you look at it, those top line, if you go through like our lads or something and just look at the first line of the depth chart, looks good. You get past that, tight end, offensive line, even running back to a certain extent, all of those, like, they're not, it's not alarm bells going off. We've seen offensive linemen go down. They need to do something with offensive linemen, and I think they need to do something with tight end. So it's shaky. It's not super scary, but it is something I think they need to look at this offseason.
Do you think it's a negative, or, like, say you have a couple pieces, some depth spots at offensive line? Because I saw that's kind of this thing that was released, a percentage of snaps at all the offensive lines in the NFL have played. And I want to say the Packers were down like 25th or something like that with this current lineup. Like that, yeah. These guys together have collectively not played many snaps at all as a unit. So, and all, you know, some players that have been on this line, but they haven't played together. So they're going to have a lot of work this offseason through training camp of getting that cohesiveness, making sure that they're solid and good. And like you said, the worry is they're learning each other. As soon as one of those, now you're putting in a new guy to fill that spot. I'm going to sidetrack for a sec. My guy Lucas Patrick just signed to New York Giants. And I was so hopeful that they, like, Packers might kick the tires and bring him back and, like, have him finish off his career, because I think this team there in Green Bay needs that Swiss Army knife type player and a veteran, like a veteran type player. They need somebody that can play both guards and center if need be, and you can fit them in wherever you need, and they have that ability to go out there and do that. Do you think there are any guys available like that? Like, kind of out in the free agency space here in the next month or two?
I am not sure. You know, I've been so tied into kind of interior defensive line, interior offensive line, or even just those movable pieces. I'm not sure. I will say, before we get too far away from that, I got a good friend of mine that I watch every Packers games with, owns a Lucas Patrick jersey, because that's one of his all-time favorite players. He loves kind of the scrap in him. So he's the only guy I know with Lucas Patrick jersey. So
I have where one he's too. At so yeah.
Do you have one? Okay. I know two guys with Lucas
there
Patrick
jerseys.
There
you go. Jerseys,
I mean, look at like any of like, I don't know, Jack Conklin is out there. Like, you potentially bring him in. Like, you're looking older at that point, which I kind of like. I like that move for Kennard. If there's a swing like that where it's seventh round pick, which they did last year, you brought in Kennard. He did really good work for you. As far as like the names, like, there are dudes out there I think you could go for that, like, after the draft, and it's not all the comp pick stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And you could take a swing at if you want to. He's played a couple positions and he was only good 1 year, but someone like Mekhi Becton, with the Packers trying to get bigger on the offensive line, where they got like Belton out there and everything like that. We saw Becton was a tackle, and he did his best work at guard with Philly. If they brought him in, is like, listen, we know you have positional versatility in terms of, like, you were not a good tackle, but you know how to play tackle. Like, you've done that before, but you're really good as like a mauling guard. If the bank stuff doesn't work, and like, okay, I want to take a swing on Becton, who's just a massive, massive human, maybe you take a swing like that. Like, there's guys out there that, like, if I saw a signing for one of those guys, but like, okay, cool, yeah, I'd be down with that. Just anything to shore that up. But I think there are names out there, guys you could bring in to shore some of that stuff. Yosh Nyman's out there. He's only 30 years old.
You know, maybe
bring Yosh back. You know, I don't know. There are dudes out there I'd be happy with.
Dusty, it's been a quiet offseason for Jordan Love. Is that a good thing?
Sure. Listen, he's a new dad, right? Or he's going to be a new dad. Like, listen, you're prepping the house. You're getting everything ready. We went through so many off seasons where it was just all the drama around quarterback or around coach or around whatever, that a quiet offseason for the quarterback, that seems fine. He seems like a relatively quiet dude. I think that's fine.
He's going to show up to offseason, and you're not going to have to like wonder if he's in a, you know, a darkness retreat or if he's gonna, you know, what he's going to do. I mean, I love my guy Aaron, but there were a few years there towards the end where it's like, oh man, when are we going to see this guy?
Wasn't like, is he going to come back and play football? It's like, is he alive?
Are we just going to see him? Right. Yeah, like kind of concerned.
Has he been replaced with someone else?
Is this a clone of Aaron Rodgers?
What did you think of Jordan Love's opening day pitch that he threw out?
I'm a Tigers fan. I've been watching a bunch of Tigers games. I try to watch Brewers game when I can. I honestly forgot he did the first pitch. I knew he was going to do it, and then I didn't look it up. I have no idea. How did it look? Did he do like a full drop back? Did you play action off the mound?
I don't know. Tommy, what's your take on it? I wasn't overly impressed with the the throw there.
It amazes me how little people like know how to throw baseball properly. Like, it is. I mean, I'm not saying that I should have made the bigs, but I played all the way growing up, and I know the motion of how to throw a baseball. And there's so many athletes where it's like 50 Cent taught them how to do it.
He threw it like a football. He held it like this, and like, that's all we know. Dusty Evely joining us on the Mason Crosby Show. You can find him, Acme Packing Company. I want to ask you, so we talked about this a couple times, especially last week. Micah Parsons out first four games. Let's just say four, just for number's sake. What do you think is acceptable for those first four games? And who kind of holds the pressure of having this team like have success with without Micah Parsons on the field?
Oh man, without knowing who they're playing, it's tough. I will say, I mean, anytime you miss someone that big for like that stretch, my go-to is always like 500. You go 2-2, you can catch up down the stretch, like you're fine. Now, if that's all like divisional games, that's different. It's not all going to be divisional games. That's not the way they set this stuff up. But typically I say if you go 500, now you really like to go, I mean, you'd like to go undefeated. 3-1, depending on the opponent, would be good. But I always say, like, you know, tread water. Can you be 500 until this guy gets back? And then you're really back to 100%. In terms of, like, who you want to step up in that time, I mean, you know, can Hargrave do anything? Can you get we're year three of Edge Cooper at this point. He went from kind of weaponized, not knowing fully the defense in year one, to last year it was scaled back a little bit in terms of how he was used. I thought he was a better linebacker, but the explosiveness plays was not there. Can you weaponize him? Can you get him some free rush opportunities, some twists up the middle? Like, to me, that would be based on who you have. You want to get Xavier McKinney or Evan Williams, one free rush off the edge a game, if you can, and you want to try to spring Edge Cooper up the middle once or twice a game with some of those double A gap mugs and twists and all that stuff. But to me, on defense, those are the dudes. Now, you'd hope, again, Stackhouse can maybe do something. Brinson, I thought, showed some flashes down the stretch. Guys like Baron Sorrell, if Sorrell can come in, I know he's been working out and you know, just hanging out, I guess, with Micah. If you can get Baron Sorrell, even maybe Colin Oliver, he feels a little more limited. But if Sorrell can come in and be like, listen, he's at least like a functional pass rusher, I think that helps a lot. But if you're looking at, like, you want your stars need to step up. Stars need to be stars. Year three of Edge Cooper, that's the guy, because we've seen what he can do. And if you want to weaponize him, and if you want to lean into that a little more those first 4 weeks, I think you could see some damage done on that side.
Dusty Evely, Acme Packing Company, what you got working on in the works here, Dusty, that people can check out?
Oh man, I've got this call sheet series where kind of I'm reviewing past stuff that is done, like how the Packers performed by down and distance, all that stuff the previous year. And so I'm on third and long now. So look at kind of how many they had per game, how many calls they had per game, how that stacked up against other groups, what their success rate, explosive rate was, and then kind of pick, okay, they had, I think, six plays on third and long. What was most effective? What worked? What didn't? Diagram everything up, got some clips, all that.
How did inside zone work on third and short? Was that get glowing reviews out of you?
I'm not, you know what? I think their third and short isn't that bad. I think their third and short inside zone is not that bad. I'll let you know when I get there. Right now, their third and long offense was dynamite, I can tell you that. But third and short, I got to look at. I'll let you know.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
No, Tommy.
All right. We'll circle back on that one. Dusty, thank you so much for popping on, man. Have a good one.
Appreciate you, gentlemen. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
There he is, Dusty Evely, Acme Packing Company, joining us on the guest hotline powered by Gruber Law. One call. That's all. Big week, as Mason Crosby will not be here for Masters week. Are you playing? Are you playing in Augusta? Is that secret?
Yeah. Actually, I'm sitting right now at Amen Corner, just waiting to get my time. No, but I'm watching. Scotty's on the course. You know, he's on the 10th hole right now, just, you know, putting, you know, getting the feel of things. They got like 14 people on this one hole. It's kind of wild, but gosh, this might be the best week in the history of sports.
Man, I cannot wait. How is the Molly injury going to interrupt like a nap on Friday or Saturday at like hole 8?
Well, I think the plan is for her to have surgery on Friday. So I'll be locked in while she's recovering. So, I mean, that won't be an issue. Saturday is going to be tough. Saturday and Sunday will be a little bit tougher, but we'll find some time. She's just going to be, you know, legs up. Like, you know, we'll hit the easy button and you'll let these kids hang out.
It's that easy. It is the Mason Crosby Show. We are live from the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Let's talk about it on the other side.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.